Liam Crowley of TheDirect.com joins me for a mid-season review of Moon Knight. Our likes, dislikes, what we think is going to happen in the final three episodes, and is it meeting our expectations? All that and more coming up right now on 15 Minutes of Marvel.
There was an idea.
If we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
We're going to do this all day.
What are they called again?
Annulax batteries.
Harvey Larry batteries.
As far as I'm concerned, that's America's ass.
I control the truth! Mysterio is the truth!
Boom. You looking for this?
What is up and welcome back to 15 Minutes of Marvel, the only podcast that gives you Marvel reviews, news, and rumors in pretty much 15 minutes. I'm your host, Ethan Simi. Today on the pod, I've got a good friend back with me to discuss Moon Knight. It is not just myself anymore. It is myself and a friend. Liam Crowley of TheDirect.com is joining me for a mid-season review of Moon Knight. Liam, welcome back to the pod, my guy. How are you doing?
Ethan, thank you so much for having me on. It's always a joy to hop on over to 15 Minutes of Marvel. It's been a minute since we've chatted, because I've done, you know, a couple guest appearances for you at this point. And man, Moon Knight, you know, it's not exactly at the WandaVision Loki levels that I've been hoping it would get to, but I say that yet, because we've only just now entered the mid-season. And I think based on where this episode left us, I think we're in a really good spot for the back half to be super intriguing.
I think good things are in store for the back half of Moon Knight. And I would agree with you. I don't think we're quite at that WandaVision era, but you know what? The Moon Knight era is a special era unto itself. And I am glad to be here, to be a part of it, to be living it. Liam, let's talk about the first three episodes of the season so far. We are halfway through a six episode order of Moon Knight. Perfect time to peel back the veil a little bit, talk about have an honest conversation about Moon Knight, about this project. Is it meeting expectations? What do we think of the cast, of the world building, of the character, things of this nature? Now, I want to start this conversation off. I believe I have my information correctly. If I stalked you well enough and claim to be a friend of yours, you did get a screener to Moon Knight, but you only watched episode one. Is that correct?
That would be correct. And a lot of people, some people called me crazy for that, but I know how these things go. I've been very fortunate to have screeners in the past. And unless it's for a movie where it's all going to be consumed in one sitting, these shows, man, it is brutal to watch more than one episode at a time. Falcon Winter Soldier was just the premiere, and it only came, you know, a month or so or a week or so right before that movie dropped. But Loki, I remember, was two episodes. That was brutal to watch them back to back and not get my answers, you know, the very next week. What If was the first three episodes, which is a little different. It was anthology. They weren't all leading into the next one. But still, it was the idea of not being without new content while everyone else is enjoying new content for an entire month. Like, that's one thing. I probably would have watched both one and two if it was only one and two. But the first four, two-thirds of this show, breeze right through it. And I'm hearing all my other friends who watched all four saying four has a brutal cliffhanger. Why would I want to watch that one sitting? So I'm, you know, I love doing this stuff as a career. I would not have it any other way. This is quite literally my dream since I was an 11-year-old kid. But that dream started as a fan, and I never want to lose that. So waking up every Wednesday morning, sure, it means a little bit more work in terms of watching the episode right before we record the direct podcast rather than doing all those reviews in bulk when we got the screeners. But again, I'm never going to sacrifice that fan experience. It means way more to me than having a little exclusive access and being able to put out a fun tweet a couple weeks early.
Sure. I respect that. I got to be honest with you, because I was gunning for a screener. Unlucky, did not get one this time around. I thought it was interesting that they decided to have four episodes for the screener. I think that is a very interesting choice. And you know, Joanna Robinson and Mallory Rubin of Ringerverse podcast, The Ringer, they also got screeners and they did something similar. They only watched the first two episodes. And so I'm respecting people who did not watch the entire screener, because I do think there is something special about, you know, the Lokis and the WandaVisions and experiencing these things in real time on social media, in real time, reactions in real time, and being part of this kind of this culture and this energy behind it. So that means that you have got to experience the last two episodes in real time with everybody else, with myself and everybody watching. That means you're current with everybody else. You are three episodes in, just like myself. I want to know general thoughts. Are you enjoying Moon Knight so far? Where do you stand with the character, the world building? Just lay a base for me on the Liam Crowley scale of being a Moon Knight fan.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it so far. It has yet to eclipse any of the 2021 Marvel live action shows for me, those being WandaVision, Falcon, Loki, and Hawkeye. And that's not to say it won't eventually, but there was something magical about those shows that just has yet to be replicated here. And I think that is probably due to this being a standalone project. You know, Falcon and WandaVision were direct ramifications of the biggest movie of all time, Avengers Endgame. Like, their stories were built upon the final moments of Wanda Maximoff and Sam Wilson, you know, Sam getting the shield and Wanda going elsewhere without Vision. Those shows were so conducive on such a big movie. This show is trying to stand on its own, and it's something we're going to have to get used to, because She-Hulk and Ms. Marvel are going to do the same exact thing later in this year. But that being said, I am in love with Oscar Isaac's portrayal of this character. You're a big A24 fan, so I know you like film, not just like big blockbuster
cinema.
You like cinema out here on 15 Minutes of Marvel. And also, I know you got 24 minutes of A24 out there. You know what Oscar Isaac brings to the table. He's not just Poe Dameron. He's not just Apocalypse. He's freaking Ex Machina. And like, that role in that movie is being so directly inspired, or his roles as Stephen Grant and Mark Spector are so inspired by that performance. Not to say they have similar characteristics, but they're similar in the sense of how much dedication he's putting into this character. He feels like two different people when he's Grant and when he's Spector, yet they don't change wardrobes. They don't change, you know, hairstyles. They don't even change like structures as a person. Their facial expressions just change ever so slightly. And you need an elite tier caliber actor to pull that off. I think Isaac's doing a phenomenal job. Same thing with Ethan Hawke. I love what we're going with Arthur Harrow. At first, I wasn't super bought in. This most recent episode really swayed me. And in terms of the world building too, you mentioned, what do I think of the cast? I thought the cast was kind of weak overall through two episodes, not because of Isaac and Hawke, but I just thought it was super top heavy. You have two of the most accomplished actors of all time leading the show. Who else do we have? We need to fill this thing out. This latest episode, I thought they did a fantastic job of evolving the world around Moon Knight. Because sure, it's set in the MCU, but we've had a singular MCU connection through three episodes, and it was a name drop. Like, we need to have this world of Moon Knight feel like its own world before we get into the greater world that is the MCU. And I thought episode three did that in spades.
I agree with you on most fronts. I do think you're right. I'm a film guy. I'm a cinema guy. And I love the fact that not only can people know Oscar Isaac, right? I mean, it's Star Wars. He's one of the biggest characters and one of the biggest franchises of all time. But the fact that we can sit here and we can say, you should go see this movie that A24 put out 8 years ago, and that's good Oscar Isaac stuff. Him as Nathan in that movie is truly incredible, and really, you're right, is moving in this front for this show. I like his style better in Ex Machina. I love the beard. I love the shaved head. So, hey, maybe we get that in Moon Knight one day. But I think you're right. I think Moon Knight's got a really tough job being a singular story. And for being the first singular story that we've had so far, with Yelena Belova not showing up or not getting some big connection to any other property, right, to lean on, I think Moon Knight's holding its own quite well. I do share your sentiment about a top heavy cast. I am in love with Ethan Hawke. He's in the best movie trilogy of all time, the Before trilogy, and Oscar Isaac is wonderful. I do think Meg Calamway is doing very good as Layla. And I think this third episode really buys us into that. And it's something that I mentioned this week on my pod. I think we're moving in the right direction for a standalone show to be invested in these new characters and to start flattening out that top heavy cast and saying like, oh, look, we do have other people that we can get deep into, one of those being Khonshu. I didn't expect that we'd get a lot of background when it comes to Khonshu and questioning his godly authority. But here we are trying to figure out what he means and who he is and what his motives are. I think that's something the show is doing really well. I want to talk about the tone of the show, because this show was sold to us, to the fan base, to, you know, regular everyday MCU people as, you know, kind of being this first darker foray into Marvel, into a more violent, a more mature. We had all of the Netflix shows show up on Disney Plus. You've got to put in your pin code now to access mature content. Moon Knight was seemingly alluded to be a kind of under this umbrella. One of the reasons I was personally excited for this show is that we're going more in that direction. Do you think this show has met your personal expectations and the expectations of the fan base when it comes to setting a new and unique tone for a Marvel property?
That's a really good question, because my expectations going in, I never saw this as being a Punisher, a Daredevil, a Luke Cage, because as much as those shows are beloved by the fans, to me, they don't feel like the MCU because of how visceral they are. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say we can't have an R-rated MCU project eventually, but there's something about MCU camera work and MCU dialogue and just MCU isms overall that I don't think were super reflected in that show. And that like when we bring those into canon discussions, I always kind of push back a little bit, not because I don't enjoy their content, but because it feels like it was made inspired by the MCU, not part of the MCU. And that's the truth. It was made for Netflix. It was made with a Marvel television division that was not directly canon to the movies at the time. So I like the idea of Moon Knight being more like our Falcon Winter Soldiers and Hawkeyes in terms of tonal consistencies, camera work, MCU isms, than going more in the Punisher Daredevil direction. But what I will say is I like the fact that they are pushing the envelope. I like the fact that we are getting bloodier. And I like the fact that they're doing the smoke and mirrors stuff when it comes to the brutal Moon Knight action. And it doesn't feel cheap. Like when we saw John Walker cave a guy's chest in, like it was done through cell phone footage and a little bit of smoke and mirrors. And I thought it was warranted to a degree, because obviously we can't see that happen. And they're not going to show like a, you know, frayed body on Disney Plus, like happy Wednesday morning. Here's, you know, a guy being killed by the new Captain America. But what I will say is this show in particular, Falcon Winter Soldier, felt more like smoke and mirrors, and they were editing around it. When Mark Spector glitches in and out, or when Stephen Grant glitches in and out, and something has happened and he's left with blood on his hands and there's splattered bodies all around him, to me, I'm like, that's awesome, because they're using that TV-14 rating to their advantage. They're not using it as a crutch. It's more about, this is an editing technique to show you mature stuff is happening. And it's not that we can't show you, it's that it doesn't fit within the context of how this show is being unraveled. So I like that. I like how they're pushing the envelope there. And I really think come the back half of the season, we are really going to push that even further in terms of the action and the themes and whatever goes down with the cult stuff with Arthur Harrow and all that. So I don't think this is as much of a leap for the MCU as some people anticipated, but I do think it is a big step in a new direction.
I think that's totally needed in this situation, because not only, like we said, are you introducing a standalone character or a standalone show, which is going to have several issues and weight attached to it as it is, but you are trying to push the envelope, as you said, and do more mature things. What I think is so impressive that you mentioned that we get these flashes between Moon Knight and Mark Spector and Steven, and we can imply, we can infer what happens. We see little bits here and there. Not only is that done as this kind of, you know, like, we're not quite ready to go there yet. We're not quite ready to show you this action. But I think episode 3 gave us our best glimpse yet. It is meaningful storytelling. It dives us deeper into this disconnect, this illusion between Mark and Moon Knight and Steven that he himself might not even be aware of at the time. And as the show progresses, we're seeing more clear transformations between all of his characters. And that's done very, very purposefully. So I think the show has done a good job of being very meaningful in a lot of the storytelling that it's doing and the visuals that it is showing. I think episode 3 is pushing that envelope the most. I did see your tweet earlier today saying that you were not glued to this episode, but you did like certain things about it. So I want to take a short branch off from our season spanning conversation. And I want to know what you thought explicitly about episode 3 and leading into the future episodes, but do you think episode 3, was it a step back for the show? Did it continue to move things forward? How did you feel about it?
In terms of overall, I thought episode 2 elevated the story more. That's not to say episode 3 was a step back, but I think we didn't move as far along as we did last week. The aspects of episode 3 that I really enjoyed, like I said before, was fleshing out this world, meeting new characters, meeting Gaspard, Uliel's character, rest in peace, obviously passed away earlier this year, and this is posthumous work for him, but meeting his character, meeting this council of Egyptian gods and everything, I thought that that was a much needed boost to this show's cast, because for the longest time, we meet characters and then we change locations. Like, I don't think we'll ever see that museum worker ever again, unless we go back to London, which would be a surprise to me overall. I think the idea of adding more people is only beneficial for this show overall. The parts that didn't glue me in, there's nothing really apparent. I don't really have a concrete answer for you on that. It's just more like the overall vibe of this particular episode, I wasn't as sucked into as I had been for other episode 3s of 6 episode MCU Disney Plus shows. My favorite episode of MCU Disney Plus television, Madripoor's episode from Falcon Winter Soldier, that was an episode 3 that had my attention for the entire runtime. The Hawkeye car chase, the one that everyone loves, I believe that's the one when we got the Pym arrow too.
Yep.
That was an incredible episode 3. And then episode 3 of Loki, Lamentus, people, you know, don't really care for that episode, but it left us with a giant cliffhanger.
Team Lamentus, baby. Love Lamentus. Oh, team,
you know, yeah, respect.
Of course.
it didn't work for me, but I always love when people have like opinions that go against the norm. You know me, Iron Man 3, Thor the Dark World. I love
Let's go.
And Lamentus left us with an awesome cliffhanger of how are they going to get off this planet. I thought this episode was missing that big cliffhanger. Mm-hmm. But I did think pushing the narrative forward did pretty well overall. I think the bigger cliffhanger was last week when we got, you know, him waking up in Egypt and where do we go from here. The aspects that I really did enjoy, obviously the freaking Madripoor name drop, I perked up. That was my shot of espresso.
I knew that was gonna be your thing.
I was like, as soon as I was like watching this, not like falling asleep, but I had just woken up. It was very early in the morning. And as soon as they said Madripoor, boom, caffeinated. I was locked in. I was like, what did you just say? Let's skip back 15 seconds, make sure my mind's not playing tricks on me. But the other stuff about the third personality maybe getting involved, the idea of Arthur Harrow being able to deceive these gods, Khonshu no longer, you know, being a part of this council, actually being banished, it puts the show in a very intriguing spot moving forward, because all the factors that were working towards Mark Spector being successful are now working against him. He doesn't have the aid of Khonshu. There's a third personality that's interfering with him on the daily, and Arthur Harrow is deceiving everyone that should be on his side. So for those reasons, I think the back half is going to be super investing, but I don't think they were necessarily presented in a way that makes that back half apparently intriguing. I think it's more of, we talk about this stuff and we go, oh man, it's going to be really cool, but we have to digest it a little bit. So I don't know if that's a technique of the show or if that's just a ramification of the great social discussion that goes around with Marvel Wednesdays. But overall, I mean, I think the show's in a good spot. Episode 3, I probably won't look back on overall super fondly, but there's a bunch of moments that I'm going to think are just, you know, immortal things for the show.
Episode 3 right now, like I said, Team Lamentus. I love the Lamentus episode of Loki, and I will always die on that hill. And I think for me, because I was trying to help you, help me understand why I'm wrong about loving this episode so much, because I think it did do a lot of things that it needed to do, namely exploring the lore and giving us a lot more context when it comes to this council of gods and understanding how all of this works, giving us a ton of backstory when it comes to Khonshu himself and being a deceiver and shaping Arthur Harrow to be the way he is, being banished by the gods, having a troubled history, much like Mark does, choosing an unwell host, much like himself. All of these things, I think, are working together very well and blending together well. Leaves me with one of the last big question that I have for you, Liam, is action versus character development. I felt like this episode 3 was a really nice blend of both of those things. We start with a really good kind of 1-2 punch of character development for Layla getting a passport, and then we move right into Mark running on rooftops chasing people down. We get a great third act with Moon Knight and Mr. Knight And then everything that happens with Khonshu, very action centric, but we get a couple emotional beats as well between Layla and Mark and understanding their characters a little bit better. Do you have worries going into these back three episodes that we're going to gear one way or the other and it's going to sour this show? Are we going to go too much into the action oriented side of Moon Knight to try to rope people in for those viewership numbers in the back third or the back half and really kind of dissipate what we've kind of garnered so far in terms of character development? Or are we going to slow things down a lot? Or, you know, what are your thoughts going into these episodes?
I think it'll be a mix of both. I think we're definitely going to have a very action heavy finale. And I think we're going to have a pretty action heavy episode four. I think episode five will be kind of our calm before the storm in terms of more of those dialogues, more of those conversations. I look back at episode five of Falcon Winter Soldier. That was, it opened with the hot scene of the three-way fight between Bucky, Falcon and John Walker, more of a two-on-one, but you know what I mean? And then we immediately go into conversations between Bucky and Sam at the Bayou in Louisiana, talking about what the Shield means. We go to John Walker testifying before Congress. You know, I did what you told me. What a great scene. People
great are looking
too much. I think that episode five will be kind of those discussion heavy moments. And I don't think people should look down upon that. I hate this idea of doing action for action's sake. We would talk on when we were reviewing Falcon Winter Soldier. I remember on the Direct podcast, there were so many weeks where like there would be like topics on social media about like, you know, oh, like the action was too short in this episode. I'm like, what? Is there a balance? Do we have to meet like 15 minutes of action every single week or else it's like a failure? Like there's a balance to that. We can't have punches being thrown just for the sake of punches being thrown. I thought Book of Boba Fett ran into that in a very big way. They were having action for action's sake and there was no emotion behind it. Like we want these fights to mean something. And that's why we have our arguments between Tony and Cap before they actually throw down in the third act of Civil War. That's why we have, you know, our flashbacks between Winter Soldier and Steve, so that when they eventually do fight on the helicarrier at the end of Winter Soldier, it means something. Like we need to have, like Arthur Harrow is not a hand-to-hand combat guy. So how do we make him into someone who is going to probably fight Moon Knight and have it mean something? We need to see some flashbacks of what he was like when he was in his Moon Knight suit, or we just need to see him throw down a little bit and show he's not just a leader. He can also be a frontline general too. So there's a balance to be had. And I really don't think there's a right or wrong way about it. Some weeks you can have 80% action, 20% story, and it works. Other weeks you can have 80% story, 20% action, and it works. It all depends on the vibe. And right now I think Moon Knight's in a good spot. But I do think we need to centralize our narrative a little more. That's not to say in hindsight, we won't look at the show as genius. I think that because there's so many unanswered questions right now, we're left being like, well, we don't see the full picture yet. We haven't put all the puzzle pieces together, so we can't really judge what we've constructed so far. I'm hoping that when we do get those answers, the whole puzzle looks like amazing.
Yeah, and I feel like that's why I am so hopeful for these back three episodes, because I feel like we are continually getting just little bits and pieces here of Arthur Harrow, of Mark Spector, of Layla, and understanding all of their interconnectivity and really this full circle of characters, how they're all interdependent in some way or another and all rooted back to Khonshu, which I think they're doing a great job alluding to. I get worried if I go down my own mental rabbit hole of saying, well, what if they can't, what, forgive me, Liam, I know you're a Falcon Winter Soldier guy, but what if they pull a Falcon Winter Soldier? What if they bite off more than they can chew and they don't resolve some storylines? What if we never get a understanding of Layla and Anton and Madripoor? What if that's just all for naught, right? I get a little worried when it comes to this and little Easter eggs here and there, but I think they're in a great spot and I'm really hopeful. Give me your one big prediction for the finale, the penultimate episode, whatever it is that you want. Are we getting a Werewolf by Night setup? Are we getting a Midnight Sun setup? Are we interacting with anybody in London, per chance? What do you think is the most either realistic or the thing that you actually wish would happen at the end of Moon Knight?
Oh, man. Okay, most realistic. I'm like most realistic, but also like trying to, you know, pull up a three from the parking lot a little bit. I think we're going to get Sharon Carter. I think Sharon Carter is going to show up in some capacity. She was first rumored to be in this series last summer. And that's a very specific character to be rumored. It's not like we're, you know, Falcon Winter Soldier and, you know, Chris Evans is rumored. Of course he's going to be rumored because he's directly associated with the lineage of those characters. Sharon Carter, Moon Knight, what's the connection? I've been waiting all series to figure it out. And then they name drop Madripoor. I think the stars are aligning. I think we're going to get the Power Broker here in some form or capacity. I know people are probably wincing right now because people don't like Power Broker. I agree. The reveal was dumb and it was weak. But I think that's not to say she can't be cool moving forward. Like, the reveal was weak. Okay, now let's reinvent the character and make her feel like a big player in this Earthbound MCU branch. My out-of-the-box prediction, man, I want to be original. I want to have something new. But, like, Mark Ruffalo as Hulk, it's the one that's been rumored for so long. We do know that he's Bruce Banner again as of Shang-Chi. So I think that there is a possibility that he shows up in human form. And I wrote a very in-depth feature article on the possibility a couple weeks ago for thedirect.com, basically kind of going into, even though Hulk and Moon Knight are very different characters, Mark Spector and Bruce Banner deal with a very, very similar thing of having this beast from within and how do you tame it? And that's my secret, Cap. I'm always angry. Like, this is a guy that could easily give pointers to this character if he needs them. And yeah, at the end of this show, I could very much see Ruffalo potentially being like, your new blood, we'd love to have you, just like we just got Shang-Chi. And then, you know, maybe we get a little Mahershala Ali Blade being like, no, actually, we need
you. That's what I was gonna say. You stole it from me, dude.
Moon Knight being the hottest free agent. I'm sorry, but I want to hear about your Midnight Sun stuff.
Yeah, man, that's totally it, right? Why else? I mean, lots of other reasons else, but it seems to be that it would work out well and serendipitously for us to have someone based in London, where we have last seen Dane Whitman holding the Ebony Blade, and we know Mahershala Ali is now, his voice is at least in the MCU, and it seems to be that Moon Knight is going to be the hottest free agent on the market, and I can totally see a Mark Ruffalo situation. I think it would be a good numbers play, a good fan play, to bring in someone cemented into the MCU like that, to bring in a big person for everybody to tune into that finale and or that post-credit scene or whatever it's going to end up being, and really rope that in for in the future. Of course, I'm always here for more Eternals content. I think Eternals is wonderful. And I think there are lots of, cinema, baby.
Love Eternals.
I think Chloe's there's... out. Lots of good things that can happen with this. I've enjoyed the first three episodes so far. Three seasons, God, I only hope. I've enjoyed the first three episodes so far. I look forward to every single Wednesday, obviously, as much do you. And I think there are really good things in store. What that is, who knows? And I think for me personally, just being out of the know is kind of fun, right? And guessing and taking stabs at what might happen and just letting the Moon Knight era wash over you is something special in and of itself. Liam, thanks for coming on the pod, dude. I greatly appreciate it. Always love connecting, especially when it's about MCU TV, because I know you're going to bring the good takes, and I always appreciate that. If people want to know, want more of you, want to listen to you, want to read what you do, where can they find you?
Thank you so much, Ethan, for having me on. Always a pleasure. And it's also cool when we got to chat about, you know, new things every time. The MCU continues to evolve. I can't even remember the first thing we ever talked about on this podcast or just in general, but we've hopped around between drafts and auctions, and now we're talking Moon Knight and cinema. So much, baby. But if you want to find me on socials, it's at Liam T. Crowley, spelt like it sounds. My work is on thedirect.com. I write just about every single day between news and feature articles, whole bunch of fun. New episodes of The Direct podcast for conversations like we just had. If you enjoy this show, you'll enjoy my show. Every single Wednesday around noon Eastern is when we drop new episodes. But if you also want to find some of my video content, please subscribe to my YouTube channel. Just pop in Liam Crowley on YouTube. Very easy to find. I've been trying to do more independent work just based on what content I like. You know, stuff that isn't assigned to me, stuff that I just have a passion for and I want to talk into a camera about. I've been doing some wrestling reactions, and today I just dropped an explainer video about why I think the new Percy Jackson casting is perfect. And it was so much fun to put together, and there was literally no monetary value. It was not assigned to me. It was purely just done out of fun And that's the type of content that gets me out of bed every morning. So whenever I have an opportunity to do fun stuff like that, I always take it. I always try to bottle that passion and turn it into something people can enjoy. I call myself the content machine, and that's not just a nickname. That's something I always try to embody. And if anyone who listens to this podcast wants to support me on that endeavor, I would greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, Liam Crowley, the content machine. Absolutely true. Liam, you're just always doing good things, man. I love it when you come on the pod, and you've officially given me the tagline for this pod that's going to, it'll go up on Twitter. It's whatever it's going to be. It's, I guarantee it's going to ruffle some feathers. It's going to say Moon Knight is cinema, and it'll just be chef's kiss hands all day long. People will agree, people will disagree, but that is part of the fun. What did you think of the first three episodes of Moon Knight so far? Let me know on Twitter at 15 Minute Marvel. I always want to know what you think. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast on any major podcast platform. A huge shout out to the patrons of the show: Brandon Clark, Hajir Shakib, Reagan Knapp, Alan Cole Peacock, Ben Lauren, Corelli Christina, Mike Zego, TJ Zorch, and Jessica. Thank you all so much for your support of the pod. I will see you back here next time with another same day review of the next episode of Moon Knight. Very excited. Moon Knight era. Just loving it so much. I am Ethan Simmy, and remember, always go higher, further, and faster.